people talk about the states being laboratories of democracy for marijuana policy. And you point out that Dr. Frankenstein had a laboratory, too. What do you mean by that?
I mean that just the fact that something's being done experimental doesn't mean that you're going to get it right. And some pretty bad things can emerge. I don't actually think the I-502 result is going to be anything like Frankenstein's monster. But having stuff legal under state law that's illegal under federal law. So the Washington Liquor Board, which I advised, was developing regulations to issue state licenses to commit federal felonies. It's sort of a weird thing.
It is. Yeah, it sounds weird. But what kinds of bad outcomes does that actually open Washington up to?
The main bad outcome from cannabis legalization, the only one that I think matters, is an increase in heavy use and particularly heavy use among minors. And that will arise from three things. A decrease in risk and social disapprobation of pot smoking. I think those are relatively minor. A decrease in price, which I think is the most important. And then a change in the information flow as the industry starts advertising. So I think the strongest policy lever to prevent additional drug abuse is to keep prices up.
Well, that's a very interesting point that you make, and it runs counter to a lot of the criticism that we've been hearing here around Washington State, that being that the price is actually going to be too high and make it uncompetitive with the black market product. People are just going to get it illegally for less money. What leads you to the conclusion that it could actually be too low?
Producing anything legally is much cheaper than producing the same thing illegally because you don't have to sneak around and you don't have to pay people extra for their risk of going to prison. And it looks as if you ought to be able to produce a gram of saleable pot for around 50 cents. So that's what it's going to cost 3 or 5 years from now, plus tax.
But a lot of people say it will be pretty heavily taxed here with excise taxes levied at multiple levels and sales tax and B&O tax and all these different taxes. So do you think as it stands?
Just let me stop you there. It's heavily taxed as a percentage of the retail price compared to shoes. But whether that's a heavy tax per gram of cannabis depends on what the retail price is. 40% of nothing is nothing. And I'd much rather have a tax system based on the THC content, which is, after all, what people are buying.
Another factor you point to as a risk that could increase use among young people in particular has to do with social attitudes and also messaging. That's another thing that the Washington law tries to anticipate by dedicating a whole bunch of that tax revenue to prevention and public education efforts in the way to try and counteract some of those issues. How far do the measures in Washington's law go toward speaking to your concerns?
Some, and we'll see how effective those prevention efforts are. I think the most effective place to get accurate information to cannabis consumers is at the retail counter. The people standing behind the counter shouldn't just be salespeople. They should have some pharmacology training and be able to give, particularly new consumers, good advice. The guy in the liquor store has no responsibility to keep you from developing a problem drinking pattern or from drinking and driving. Right? That's not his job. He's just supposed to sell you as much liquor as he can. I'd hate to see the cannabis industry develop in the same direction.
And I think the advocates would say the guy at the 7-Eleven isn't responsible for educating people about tobacco either, but tobacco prevention efforts have been pretty successful in the last few decades, right?
They've been pretty successful, but we're still talking about something like 20% of each rising cohort getting hooked on tobacco. That's not a great outcome. I don't want to criticize the Washington effort, and I think Allison Holcomb and her crew did an able job of drafting an initiative that made sense, that could get 15% plus one of the votes. I'm just not satisfied with that on a state-by-state basis as a good way to make national policy about cannabis. I think it's time for the elected officials to start doing their job.
And what's the likelihood of that happening at the federal level?
Oh, slim to none. But the current situation with a majority of voters supporting cannabis legalization and no substantial national politician having come out for that, I think is unstable, and I think it's going to be like gay marriage. We're going to go from 3 years ago, even today, being for cannabis legalization is sort of an out there position if you're a national politician, to 5 years from now being against it, making you look pretty retrograde. But by the time we're there, we'll have so many different poorly regulated legal systems in so many different states that will be very hard to rein in.
Professor Kleiman, thank you so much for sharing that perspective with us.
My pleasure.
Mark Kleiman is a professor of public policy at UCLA and a consultant to Washington State. His article, How Not to Make a Hash Out of Cannabis Legalization, is in the current issue of Washington Monthly. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, KPLU News.